good to see everyone here tonight. And we'd like to read, if you have a Bible with you, in Romans chapter 5. The letter to the Romans, and in chapter 5. This is a great gospel chapter in the New Testament. There's many, a preacher of the gospel has preached from Romans chapter 5, and we would like to think about it tonight, at least half of the chapter, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. I'm assured that God will bless his word to us this evening. All our hope for eternity as Christians rests upon the Word of God, and the person who is presented in the Word of God, who has the ability to take away our sin, make us fit for heaven, to be with him eternally, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, if you trace through the book, this Roman letter, you'll discover that this is the first mention of the love of God in the Roman letter in connection with the gospel. And Paul has been presenting to these Christians, whom he's never met before, exactly what the terms of the gospel are really, and how far away man is from God, and that distance that man can't bridge himself, is impossible for a man to make himself righteous before God. And he sets out the basis upon which you and I, as men and women who are sinners in the sight of God, can be justified. That means made righteous in the sight of God. And he establishes that clearly in chapter 3 and 4 and says that a man can only be, or a woman can only be, justified by faith. And that is the only way he can be justified. And it's not faith in anything. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross for sin, and believing in him and accepting him as the one who paid the price for your sin is the only means through which you can know what it is to be justified, made righteous in the sight of God. I believe, that's what faith is, it's believing. You believe that he died on your behalf. So why should God do all that for us? Why should the Lord Jesus Christ lay down his life upon a cross as a sacrifice for sin? Why would all this take place on our behalf and for our benefit? Well, he comes to the crux of the matter in Romans chapter 5 that we've read for him as the reason why God did all this. He did this for us to know the blessing of sins forgiven, for us to be justified because he loves us. Because he loves us. Now, I would love for you to appreciate this evening as we look at this chapter, Romans chapter 5. Understand this, and you might have heard it many times from this platform or in many other places if you've heard the gospel. I want you just to understand this afresh this evening, that God loves you. That God loves you. You know, the Christians that meet in the hall here, we meet together to pray. And that part of that prayer very often is that men and women would come into the blessing that we enjoy of salvation for our sins to be forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for this because within our hearts we have a desire to see men and women blessed with the greatest blessing they could ever have, which is the salvation that we enjoy through Christ. We have that desire. It's within our hearts because of what God has given us and what we've received from him that others might be blessed with this. But I can tell you this honestly tonight. There's none of us have any desire for your blessing the way that God has. There's none of us has a love for your soul the way that God has. And that has been expressed as we have read in this chapter here in Romans chapter 5. And what I want us to think about this evening is just three things in connection with the love of God. The experience of the love of God. That's verses 1 to 5. The experience of the love of God. That's what it is for everyone that knows peace with God. They are enjoying the experience of the love of God. And then from verse 6 to 8, I want us to think of the evidence of the love of God. How God has shown to us that he really loves us. And from verse 9 to 11, we want to think of the endurance of the love of God. It isn't just for time. It's for eternity. It isn't just for here and now. It's for the future as well. The endurance of the love of God. The experience of the love of God. To have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. I want you to get a grasp this evening of the reality of what this is. It's not something that we just imagine. It's just not something that we read in the pages of Scripture and they're just letters and words to us. And we read them and we come and go from this place and we go back home and then we come back here again and our lives back home are completely different from what we talk about and enjoy while we're here. The experience of the love of God for those that know what it is to have peace with God is an everyday thing. It's for the whole of our lives. It's for a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday as well as a Sunday. It's because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. It's been shed abroad in our hearts. And God, unstinting in his love towards man, has demonstrated his love and poured out his love in such a way that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, we come into the enjoyment of what it is to have a relationship with God. And in that way, daily in our lives, we have the experience of the love of God. You say to yourself, I thought you were reading in these verses tonight about tribulation and problems and trials and hard times that people might go through. What these verses are bringing out before us is that the Christian, those that have believed the gospel and received Christ, they go through these experiences, but within them and interwoven through it all is this enjoyment of the love of God, and this, that we know that we've a hope which is beyond this life altogether. And we have a hope every day in our lives that God, in His grace and His love towards His people, will sustain us and help us and aid us through all these things, through that relationship that we have with Him. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I can still remember, and many can in here, the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And on that particular day, at that particular time, as a young boy, I remember the joy that filled my heart. I remember having that conscious knowledge that I would never be judged for my sin, that was all over, that Christ had died for me, and I just believed in Him, and I knew what it was to have that rejoicing in my heart through the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, that was many years ago. And I still remember that occasion and rejoice in the fact that that happened, and that was an experience that I had when I believed in Christ for the first time and received Him as my Savior. But I tell you, down through those years of life, there have been many, many occasions. And for the believer, on his knees, when he prays, or whatever other time in the day when he lifts his heart up to heaven, he knows that joy within his heart of relationship with God. And it's all based on the love of God. God in His love reaches out to us and saves our soul and gives us forgiveness of sins, but He saves the complete person. He gives them something within their life by His Holy Spirit through relationship with Him that will last for time, from day to day and right on into eternity. He's in the experience of the love of God, the experience of it. It's a wonderful thing, my friend, to know that regardless of your situation in life, whatever it may be, that you have a Savior who loves you, that you have a Father in heaven who cares for you, that you have a relationship with God that is eternal and everlasting, whatever term you want to use for it. It's endless. It will go on forever and ever and ever. The experience of the love of God. I've seen believers in extreme circumstances sometimes, and this is what sustains them. The love of God. God's care for them. His love for them. And it keeps them going and bolsters them and lifts them up. And it's shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. The love of God. But the love of God is much more than just my experience of it. There's a wonderful evidence of it that took place at the place called Calvary. Now, I want you to understand this evening. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And what this writer is coming on to now is an appreciation and understanding within his own soul that God has loved him so much that He's brought him peace into his soul. What this world is craving for, and individuals are craving for, they can have it through faith in Christ. They have peace with God, justified by faith. And God has done everything for me. But there's a basis upon which I am able to receive that peace. And that was the evidence of the love of God. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love towards us. God demonstrates His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is a barrier between you and God. You as a person, in your sin, and God in his holy character, there is a barrier that comes between you and God, and that is the matter of your sin. And the helplessness of man is in this, that he is unable at all in any way to save himself. He is lost and helpless without God in this world. The scripture describes the state of a man that is, or a woman that are in their sins, that they are dead in trespasses and in sins, with that inability, that lack of strength to be able to save themselves. And perhaps you don't appreciate just exactly what that is this evening. There will be no one in heaven apart from knowing what it is to have their sins forgiven. Never forget that. There will be no one in heaven with their sins, if you like, still with them. God's holiness demands that before anyone sets foot in his presence, that their sins are gone entirely, completely, and forever. The wonderful thing about the gospel is this, that if you are here this evening, still in your sins, and you don't know what it is to have peace with God, and you've never believed this message of the gospel, I want you to tell you that the love of God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross reaches out to you tonight. And I want you to see the cross this evening and the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that tree as a sacrifice that is able to atone, to pay the price completely for your sin. You know, I can't say that I exactly saw that as a young boy, all the detail of it. But I knew this. I knew that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that he had died for me. And I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. You might say these things are far too simplistic. I tell you, they might be simplistic, but they're very profound. And this message, my friend, reaches out to those that are simple and those that would consider themselves to be above that level. And it reaches out to man in whatever situation he is. And sometimes the hardest thing in the world for a man to do is to accept that he is a sinner before God. And God has put this on simple terms for man to understand that as a sinner he can't save himself. And he must look to his son who died on the cross and paid the price for sin to know what it is to be saved. And that is going to be the only basis for salvation for any man. Regardless of who he is, regardless of his status, regardless of the kind of culture he's been brought up in, whatever it is, every single person that wants to know peace with God comes to God on this basis. That I'm a sinner, but the Lord Jesus loved me enough to die for me upon the cross. God commends his love towards us. God has demonstrated it. And the evidence of it is the man that hung upon that center tree at Calvary. If you had been here when Christ was here, you would never have come across or come into contact with anyone that was more perfect, that was more holy in his life. You would never have come across one who on the one side was absolutely flawless and perfect, and yet on the other hand, he was so full of grace and love and compassion for everyone that needed him. And every soul that came to the Lord Jesus when he was here with need, whether it was physical or spiritual, he reached out his hand to bless them. He had a love in his heart for people. And you know, he said in the gospel accounts, he says that the publicans And the harlots, he said to all the religious men and women, they enter into the kingdom of God before you. Because they're willing to accept that they are sinners and that they need someone to save them. And sometimes we're just not willing to do that. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated in his life exactly how God feels about men. Exposing men and their pride and their sin. And yet, on the other hand, reaching out a hand of love and grace towards those that were willing to come to him in all of their need. And he's still the same tonight. The man that hung on the cross, nailed to that cross, in a demonstration not only of the hatred of men, because it was men that hung him there, but a demonstration of the extent of his love for you and me, that he was willing to be hanged there, and in that place of execution by the Romans, he established that place as an altar where every sinner can come to and know that the sacrifice has been paid. The price has been paid, the sacrifice has been made that can atone for their sins forever. And you know that's why he died, that he might pay the price for the sin of the whole world. The Word of God reminds us that Christ died for our sins. And God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What an evidence of the love of God. You'll never get a deeper expression or a higher expression of the love of God than we have in him giving his life for us upon the cross. The endurance of the love of God. You know, if you read down this chapter in Romans chapter 5, you would see this term crops up quite a few times. Much more than. Much more than. It goes on and on and on. The Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, looks forward to not only enjoying now life with Christ, but looks forward to an eternity with Christ. You know what this is based on? This is based on the fact that he rose again from the dead. We shall be saved by his life. Or you might say, well, I thought we are saved because he died for us upon the cross, and that is true. But his work on the cross in dying for us would have had no effect or no benefit at all if he had never risen again from the dead. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead is the evidence to us that God is completely satisfied with the death of his Son. It proved that he was sinless because death could not hold him. But it proved too that when he died on account of our sin, that he paid the price for our sin entirely. And the Word of God tells us that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. That his Father had ultimate and absolute satisfaction in the death of his Son. That the work was complete for you and I to know what it is to be saved. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved from wrath through him. Our lives down here are just like a stepping stone into the ocean of eternity that goes on forever and ever. I was just thinking earlier, Leonard and I knew each other quite a few years ago when he was at university in Edinburgh. It seems just like yesterday, hardly any time. And very shortly, if the Lord be not come, we'll be old, and then life will be over. And we don't know what's going to happen round the corner. There's a wonderful assurance for every believer that the love of God has guaranteed that that we will never face any judgment because of our sin. Because Christ has paid the price for it forever. We shall be saved from wrath through him. This world that we live in is facing the wrath of God. It's facing the judgment of God. The person that does not receive Christ as their Savior will face the judgment of God. You've got to be aware of that tonight. Salvation is not just an escape route from hell, as some would try to preach often in other places perhaps. But it is that as well. It means you will never face hell or the lake of fire. There's an awful place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And Revelation brings that before us, but it also paints a picture and shows us clearly that those that are fearful and unbelieving will end up being in the same place, and God never intended that they should ever be there. It was not prepared for them. But he cannot allow one single person into his presence without their sins forgiven. You need to have this peace with God. You get it through the love of God demonstrated through Christ. You can come into the enjoyment and experience of the love of God tonight by simply accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May you do so. Shall we pray?